In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Martin Franzmann once preached these words: "One glance anywhere in the world, and the eye of faith beholds the prolific splendor of the Lord of life documented in a thousand ways. His almighty creative working can overclothe our corruption with incorruption, our disfigurement with glory, our weakness with strength. He who has given us earthly bodies can give us spiritual bodies, bodies which are the fit and perfect instrument of the new man in whom the Spirit dwells. He who dressed us in the earthly dress of Adam can clothe us in Christ." He says it so well, doesn't he? The prolific splendor of being clothed with Christ. Today's text is about the preeminence of Jesus Christ in all things. Christ at the beginning, Christ in us and in his church at every moment on the way, and Christ, our eternity. It is the picture, the reality of completeness. Often, Scripture speaks of Christ as a cornerstone, and he is that. But this should never be understood as only a beginning point. Because a cornerstone that is only a beginning can be forgotten. Oh, it's very important on day one. But 15 years down the road, a new wing is added that doesn't look anything at all like the building with the cornerstone. And then 20 years later, a new architect is found, and he takes the church off in a different direction. And before long, the cornerstone is not only forgotten, but it becomes an embarrassment. For it no longer represents the thriving, beautiful new additions. And there's even talk of tearing down the old building and putting the cornerstone on display someplace. You see, it's no longer needed, but it would be nice to keep it around for sentimental reasons. One of the great dangers of our day is to see Christ and his gospel as only a starting point, something we then need to add to. And there's evidence of this everywhere. An example of this would be a blessing offered at the end of a divine service that I recently received in the mail. It's a blessing with additions, one that takes what should be pure gospel, God's gracious activity, and adds law, our activity, to it. It goes like this: "The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, which calls us to fervent commitment. The love of God, which it is our responsibility to share. And the communion of the Holy Spirit, whose power we must take to the world, be with you all." It is no wonder that people are more and more confused about law and gospel. When things that are meant to be pure gospel, pure grace, pure gifts, are made to sound like they need our help. When God's activity is made complete by our activity. The preeminence of Christ in all things, the prolific splendor of Christ in us, is divinely complete. Gospel is like the very air we breathe. For like air, gospel surrounds us, gives us life, fills us with life, feeds and sustains the whole body in all of its myriad parts. And if it's taken away, we die. That is why divine food is so important to us. In such perfect food, in such powerful means, we are kept alive by Christ Himself. He chooses to come and dwell in us. And as the church and her members receive this constant supply of divine food, we take in life, we take in nourishment, we take in refreshment from forgiveness, and it's all by divine plan. We're created, redeemed, and made holy by Him.